Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Saturday afternoon. I am not Gary Wellings. I'm Ed Bondarenka, but you have tuned into the Drift Radio Show. We're on the air live, coming to you from Wham Studio, deep in the bowels of the People's Republic of Ann Arbor. Our mission is to let you know what's going on, and you can find out what's going on a daily basis if you get your news at thedailydrift.com, because it's
the news you need to know.
Excellent. Thank you. That's Alex Wassel, who's sitting in my chair today because I'm sitting in Gary's chair, and sitting in the other chair is Pastor Rick, who's decided to sit in with us today.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out how low your self-esteem has to be to keep reminding yourself that you're not Gary.
Oh, yeah. Well, as to Gary, Gary's off on assignment, whatever that means. And if all goes well and he survives the assignment, Gary will be back. He will be back next Saturday, maybe. Tune in. You never know.
It's a beautiful day to be out.
You do know. If you read the news, you need to know.
Yes, you do. You do. Well, once again, we're live. If it's Saturday afternoon, August 10th, just after 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And the number to call in is 734-822-1600. Right now, I want to mention an advertiser to you, okay? So it's Right at Home Services, in-care services. Do you or a loved one need assistance? Call us today at 810-225-4724. It's rightathome.net, Central Michigan, and then Central Michigan. You choose that out of there. But just call the number, 810-225-4724. If you need help with relatives, a spouse, somebody in your house, you need in-house medical care, you need visitors, you need that kind of help, transportations, errands, appointments, bathing assistance, meal planning, laundry, lighthouse keeping. Oh, I love that, because I used to live in a lighthouse and I could never find anybody to do lighthouse keeping. Lighthouse keeping, ambulation assistance, and meal preparation. And I can tell you, a friend of mine is working with them right now. They're working with her, and they are helping her with one of my two best friends. And he is not in a position to take care of himself anymore. And your prayers would be welcome for Jim, if you don't mind. And his wife. I don't want to give out much more information than that. But it's to that point. And Right at Home has been there for them. She has a lot of good things to say. So I wanted to share that with you. They advertise in The Current. Once again, you can find the advertisement there if you are looking for it. And it's also available at currentonline.com. So, yes, Rick.
Yes. I just wanted to sit there and say a little less than an hour from now, on my radio show, Moment of Clarity.
Yes.
We're going to have you, Ed Hoffman, who's not Gary, we're going to have Ed Hoffman and you, Ed Bondarenka, who's not Gary. Neither one of you are Gary. Get us straight.
The not Gary club.
We're finally going to discuss Tale of Two Cities and Charles Dickens, and spent quite a bit of time talking about Charles Dickens' life. And just to let you know, I'm reading a couple new books, so we'll be talking about them in the future. One of them, just as a point of segue.
Yes. Is there some special book you're reading right now?
Right now, there is. I just started reading it this morning, and it's called Small Town Roads. And I'm telling you what, the pictures by the author that she paints just in the preface is wonderful, of the city, of the small town, of the old woman. And it's just a fun read.
What a stunning coincidence, Rick. You won't believe this. Maybe you will. You're gullible. Yeah. So we won't get into why I think you're gullible. But we have on the line right now the author of that book and her most current book, True Course, Lessons from a Life Aloft.
When you talk to her,
yes?
Tell her I want an autographed copy of Small Town Roads.
She's listening to you right now. Actually, you have my autographed copy of Small Town
Roads. I know. I want my own.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because it says to Ed, right?
Yes.
Well, and my name having said that, Derek, since she's listening in patiently, waiting to do her own self-promotion, of her book instead of depending on Rick's scrambling it. Would you bring Bridget online, please?
I'm here.
Hi, Bridget. Well, folks, this is LB Johnson, and she's the author of the two books and more, the Book of Barkley. And if you want to find her online, look at the bookofbarkley.blogspot.com for her blog. And then she's on Facebook as LB Johnson, and you can friend her there or just kind of, you know, watch from the sidelines at the conversations that go on. But, man, I got to tell you, I've been reading LB or Bridget for quite some time, and she is quite the evocative writer. That's the word I would use to describe the way she writes is evocative. And then, of all things, if that's not enough, she's a photographer, and her photography is evocative. So let's see how she does, you know, in real life talking. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Ed. I'm honored to be here with you gentlemen today. Just a little bit of background for those of you that don't know me. I started writing 5 years ago. I wrote a book just because my blog readers, which numbered in the tens of thousands, kept saying, write a book, write a book. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm a forensic scientist. I'm not an author. And I wrote a book, and it went to number one in sales in four different countries. And from there, I just kept writing, and I've now published my fifth book, True Course, Lessons of a Life Aloft, which is a memoir about my becoming a female commercial pilot back in the late 70s, early 80s, when women just weren't flying for a living. It wasn't really promoted. And so that was what that book was about. But I live in Chicago. I'm married to an engineer who's 25 years younger than me. So, yes, gentlemen, I know all the cougar jokes, but I tell people I had to marry him because, well, you know, Windows 8 and all. But we were restoring a 100-year-old bungalow up here, and I work as a federal agent. I hung up my wings after my dad had a stroke and needed some care at home, and I just really couldn't live out of a suitcase 3 weeks a month anymore. So I used my doctorate in one of the forensic sciences to get hired by a secret squirrel agency. And I love the work, but it's nothing like TV. I don't solve anything in an hour. And if I dress like the women agents on that show, well, let's just say they don't know what hot brass means down the front of a blouse. So it's not like TV, but I enjoy it. I can take my work ethic that my parents gave me. They were depression raised. And I can take my conservative values and hopefully make a difference out there from other people that do what I do. But I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying writing. I just came back from a book tour for True Course, which was a lot of fun, meeting some fans. And I'm actually now just going to take a few months off to just do some home projects, maybe some reloading down in the basement, and just enjoy putting my feet up and not writing for a little while.
Well, man, this is your third career, but this is a nonprofit career for you now, the authoring, is that correct?
Yes, I decided with the Book of Barkley, it was a pet-based nonfiction story that I wrote after I lost both my dog and my only brother, literally at the same time, both to very sudden aggressive cancers. And the book was kind of written as a tribute and a eulogy to them both. So I decided to donate all the sales of that book to Animal Rescue. I honestly didn't expect it to go to number one. I expected my family and friends to begrudgingly buy a copy, and that would be the end of it. And then the actor Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca in Star Wars, was actually photographed on set reading my book, and it just kind of went viral. So I was able to donate a lot of money to Animal Rescue, and I decided to continue doing that. So all of my books go to charitable foundations. I donate to Animal Rescues, Kevlar for Canines, which provides service vests for canine and military dogs that otherwise couldn't get one. I donate to a couple veterans groups, including one here in Chicago, Not All Wounds Bleed, which helps soldiers that have post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's something I'm glad I'm able to do, and the book's continued success allows me to continue to do so in the future.
So there's no regret that, you know, well, I'll give the profits of this small book, and then it goes bestseller. So you reference your latest book, True Course, Lessons from a Life Aloft, and I finished that a few weeks ago, but I took my time reading it. It's not something that, Well, for one thing, I don't get a lot of time to read, but it's something that kept drawing me back to it. And I noticed in the Amazon reviews, I left one there, you know that, similar reviews were there where they said, this is just something you pick up, you read, you feel better, and you put it down. You pick it up, you read it, you feel better, and you put it down. And it's not just, folks, if you're listening, it's not just a book, if you're listening, of course you're listening. It's not just a book that talks about Bridget's career, but it talks about life, and it talks about the things that are important to us. And in this case, obviously, flying was very important to her, and it's almost a philosophical book. So, Rick, did you have something you want to say?
Like I said, I just started reading one of your books this morning. Literally this morning. I got through the preface before I had to run out the door. Small Town Roads. And the picture you paint of this old lady at her home in her garden and the neighbors moving in, you do something that you don't find authors doing very much anymore, and that's painting beautiful pictures with your words. I could actually see this small town, this little white-haired lady outside looking at her garden and hoping that the neighbor who moves in will be the family member that stays there. It's just in the preface, you got me hooked. I have to say that because you painted such a beautiful picture.
You know,
well, thank you. That was my first fiction book, so that was a little bit different to write because, you know, I had to have dialogue. But the characters, although they're fictional, they're not based on any specific person. I've lived in a very small town, different state than that town, but I wanted to capture the essence and feeling of a community where people band together, even if they have completely different philosophical, religious, or political differences. They band together as community in times of trouble. That's something you don't see often in the big city. And I really wanted to capture that essence of what it's like living in a very small rural town.
And you managed to do it without gratuitous sex scenes. How'd you do that?
My dad was going to read the book, so I had to kind of, you know, leave that out.
Well, I have to sit there, and that message in Small Town, I know you want to talk about your new book, but that message in Small Town Roads really speaks to this country today, because we have stopped listening to each other. And maybe if we all came up and started getting the small town mentality back in us, maybe we could start talking and listening to each other rather than yelling over each other.
Well, yes. Yeah, and that book, The Small Town Roads, was actually published by a Christian publisher, and a lot of people said, well, is this going to be, you know, a preachy kind of book because I'm not really religious? And I said, no, it's about faith. And yes, it's faith in God, but it's also faith in each other. It's faith in our family. It's faith in a future for a small town. So I didn't want to have a specifically religious bent, but I wanted to capture my own personal faith and what I've learned through the years being raised by Christian parents in a small town and kind of pass a little bit of that mindset on without being, quote, preachy.
Well, I know that's done through Zulon Press, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and the thing about it is Zulon Press is no longer just a Christian publisher. They cover other things, too. So, hey, just
there's a phrase thought I'd tell you like. That. There's a phrase I like called a slice of Americana, and I think that book fits right in there.
I think also that America's looking to return to small-town America. That's why people move to places like Dexter or Dixboro or Plymouth or the small towns around here, because you sort of lost that feeling of community when you go to some huge metropolitan area and there's no city center or there's no gathering place or there's no main street. And I think that's where we would all like to see again.
As opposed to Facebook.
Yeah. As opposed to Facebook.
Yeah. I live right in the middle of Chicago, so that was kind of an eye-opening for me coming from, you know, growing up in a rural area. But my husband's dream job is up here, so here we are. But we're unusual in that we live in a small village within Cook County, and it's bordered on three sides by large metro parks. And it doesn't have any highway or major through traffic. So it has a very small town feel to it. We actually do have a little town square and have all kinds of little city gatherings. So I'm really glad, as far as within the city, we're located in the little village we're in, because we do get that sense of small town and we know most of our neighbors, which is really nice.
Excellent. Rick?
I wanted to give out my kudos on that book. I am thrilled that I can find a modern-day writer that can draw such a beautiful picture as she does just in the preface of this book.
Well, Bridget's on the list of blogs that I read daily, and so I get an RSS feed, and it tells me who's the latest, who's come up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'll go down, and I don't have a lot of time to read stuff. And I got to tell you, when I see that she's put a post up, there's another one, Colonel Mustang, when he puts a post up, but that's a different story. I go buy it because I want to have time to enjoy reading it. You know, I know it's going to be, there's going to be some words there, but they're not, it's going to be bloated. It's going to be something that I want to spend some time enjoying reading, you know. So that's my little dirty secret. I don't read the stuff you post immediately.
So, Bridget, you're a forensic scientist. And
Yes. I'm kind of like the character Bones on TV, except my sidekick is not a handsome FBI agent. He's a short, bald Cajun who was a former Marine.
But, I would watch that show.
We're a good team.
No, the reason I bring that up is I'm also reading another book right now, and I would, one of these days, like you, if you get a chance to read it, I'll contact you on Facebook and get your view on it. It's by Antonia Fraser, and she writes of the Gunpowder Plot. The book's called Faith and Treason, and she comes up to some conclusions, and she tries to use forensic, even though she's not a forensic scientist. She tries to take some of the clues and stuff and come up with her own conclusions. I would love for you to read that book, and I'd love to talk to you about that sometime.
Well, I'll tell you something. When Bridget describes going hunting, you know, she stumbles on stuff, and she describes it forensically to some degree. It's right. Like she takes her work with right. her, you know.
Yeah. So, again, the book is called Faith and Treason by Antonia Fraser. But I'd love to talk to you about that just from your professional view as someone in the sciences.
Oh, I would enjoy that.
All right. Thanks.
So, I'm not sure what else to ask. Anybody else have any questions for Bridget?
Well, where can we get her book?
Can we get your book?
Okay, the books are all available on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble. My first book was called The Book of Barclay, Love and Life Through the Eyes of a Labrador Retriever. My second book was called Saving Grace, A Story of Adoption. My third book was Small Town Roads. My fourth book, which was an anthology with other conservative authors, was called Cal Exit, The Anthology. It's under J.L. Curtis, as he was the gathering author for all our novellas. And True Course, Lessons from a Life Aloft is the newest. But all are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
We had Jim Curtis on here a year and a half ago when we were talking about Cal Exit. And there was that anthology then. And we were discussing, like I said, Cal Exit at that time when we were all hoping that California would just leave. But they did.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that little group of authors. Some of us were first-time authors, some were best-selling, and we all just did our own take on what would happen if California seceded. And I had a lot of fun writing my little novella that went in there.
Yep. So, let's see. It's L.B. Johnson. That's Facebook. That's Book of Barclay. The Book of Barclay at blog, dot. Oh, boy, goodness. You say it.
The Book of Barclay .blogs.com. And it's an eclectic blog. There's pets, there's bacon, there's recipes, there's barbecue, there's nonfiction, there's tales of hunting and bird hunting and whitetail hunting and more pets and more dog hair and more bacon. So it's a lot of fun. I've got about 12 million readers over the last 6 years. So I think people are having fun with it.
Oh, my goodness. And I've mentioned that you're a photographer, you're an author, you're a forensic scientist, you're a pilot, and then when you post these recipes online of the things, you remind me of my wife, Sherry. You know, you guys are going to hit it off if we ever get out your way to visit. It's horrible the way you post stuff about bacon. I've just eaten, I'm hungry again, you know?
Well, for every bacon post, there's 4 days of eating salad, so there's always payback.
Okay. Well, once again, that's Bridget Johnson, or L.B. Johnson, I should say. The books, you look up Book of Barclay on Amazon, and you're going to see links to her other books. You're going to see the reviews. And I would like to think this is a bit of shameless promotion. not of Bridget, but of myself. Hey, I know this lady. Somebody, I know this lady. So
I got a little nervous when she's sitting here talking about a blog that's about her pet and then says, and we have recipes. What kind of recipes do you need for Fido? You know?
Well, you have a recent rescue, right? You have two rescues now.
We have two. We have Abby Normal, which is named after the old movie classic, and yep. We have Laura Croft. Her AKC name is Lorelei Katie, but she's a recent rescue from a breeder release out of a Midwest state. She got too old for having puppies, so they released her to a very good lab rescue, Chicagoland lab rescue here in Chicago, and we went through the adoption process and got her, and she's been a great addition to our household. Our other lab is a very senior rescue we got. She's been abandoned in a Pike Hill shelter, heartworm positive, so we've had her now 4 years.
I think rescue dogs are just the best. My wife and I, Sherry, we went to a Hobbs restaurant last Sunday. There was a donations or stuff was being taken off the price. Oh my goodness! The receipts, a portion of the receipts, yes,
right.
We're going to Grace, which is a greyhound rescue operation for greyhound dogs, and some friends of mine are involved in that. We actually ran into them there at the restaurant.
My favorite dog is a rescue dog. Where I was working under a house, and this little tiny puppy, a Pomeranian puppy, came up to me, and it was just, make a long story short, how it found me scared the tar out of me because I was in a tight place and I feel something hairy up near my face. I'm thinking of a skunk. And I get out and this little tiny puppy that fits my hand, I take it up to the front door and they say, oh, you found it. We're just getting ready to take this dog down and sell it to the University of Michigan lab.
Oh, no.
And where they do animal testing. Whoa. And I says, no, that's Whoa. Not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Kidnapped the dog.
No, I sat there and I said, I will pay you for the dog, but this dog's going to stay with its mother until it's 8 weeks old. And I will pay you for the food and all the vet care and everything else. And when it's eight to 10 weeks old, I will come and pick it up.
You sound like the Good Samaritan, you know, where he pays the hotelier to take care of the guy until he comes back.
And his name ended up being Samson, because he's a tough little guy.
Wow, excellent.
He weighs about 10 pounds, but he's tough.
Well, folks, once again, you know, we normally talk politics, and we're going to get into that in the second half of the show hard. But sometimes you need to take a break, right? Sometimes, like a couple weeks ago, we talked about America the Happy. And sometimes you need to look at the good side. You need to examine the good side of America and what's going on. And Bridget writes about the good stuff. The stuff that binds us, the ties that bind, so to speak. And she does it well. You'd really enjoy reading her book. So once again, Bridget, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, gentlemen. And Pastor Rick, I will get an autographed copy to you. Just drop me a message on Facebook with your address.
I will do that.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Thanks, Bridget. Now, see your husband off, right?
Pardon?
Now it's time to take care of your husband and see him off, right?
Yeah, he's going out of town on business, out of the country for a little while, so I'll go round him up and keep him entertained the rest of the afternoon. I'm sure we can find some tools down in the shop and keep ourselves out of trouble.
Well, thanks for joining us, and thanks for all you do. You have a blessed day. Bye.
You too. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, as we said earlier, that was L.B. Johnson. We got about a minute and a half left.
Well, I just want to say that my wife, who's a retired librarian, will certainly look into her books and her writings. And my wife also loves forensic science, so if there's any sort of overlap, that'd be great.
You know, that I've pushed for a long time that two sides need to learn how to talk together, get together and speak, and learn each other's differences without killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she takes that approach in her book, and it's refreshing, especially when you live in a society that says it's my way or you're the enemy and you're evil, and there's no talking anymore.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm prejudiced, but I think our side, if you want to call it our side, is more liable to take the time to talk than the other side that chants outside people's homes, that face them off in restaurants, that harass them.
Yeah, I would sit there and say, for the most part, the conservatives now are the ones that are more willing to reach out and talk back and forth. But it's not every conservative. There's some that sit there and say, no, you're wrong, I'm not going to listen to you. But
okay.
You got a lot more Democrats or a lot more liberals that will take that stand.
Folks, that's it. The music's playing. Derek's circling his finger in the air. I've got a grip on how to do this now. Come on back. In the next half hour, we'll get back to politics.
People are always headed somewhere. How do they keep up on the latest news and information? They listen to Wham! Just like you. If you have a product or business to advertise, your message can reach these listeners wherever they are. People tune to Wham! Radio for the latest issues discussed by hosts like Theron X, Steve Gruber, and Joe Pags. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise with Wham! Radio, 1600 AM, 92.7 FM. You'd be insane to be anyplace else.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Attorney General William Barr has weighed in on the death of financier Jeffrey Epstein. In a statement, Barr said, I was appalled to learn that Jeffrey Epstein was found dead from an apparent suicide while in federal custody. The FBI's joined the investigation.
This is somebody who was facing 45 years in prison, and the evidence against him was overwhelming. Millions of court documents, dozens of victims, thousands of photos found recently in his home, in his mansion in New York, of girls and minors, nude and semi-nude.
Fox's Brian Yannis. Epstein was 66. Democratic presidential contenders are chiming in on the Epstein death as well.
This should not be the end of justice for the victims of this individual. We have to make sure that continues.
Washington State Governor Jay Inslee at the Iowa State Fair on Fox. This is Fox News.
It's time for A Minute to Stop and Think with Pastor Christopher Toma of Our Savior Lutheran Church and School in Heartland.
There's an unfavorable verse in the Bible that describes a man named Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph was a member of the ruling council, and it's assumed by the text that he was in attendance during the Lord's trial and crucifixion. We're told he believed in Jesus, but that he was afraid of others knowing it, and so Joseph kept his faith a secret for fear of the trouble it would cause him. But then suddenly at the death of Jesus, the tenor surrounding Joseph changes. We hear the words, quote, "Now he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus," unquote. Yes, Jesus is offensive to so many in this world. In that moment of moments on the cross, while the world saw weakness and defeat, Joseph beheld victory over all that would cause us fear. This gospel penetrated his fright, giving him courage. The ruling council would know what Joseph believed. The enemies of the Christians would have his name on their list. His inconspicuous life of safety was over. Now he took courage. Christians, namely pastors and church leaders, learn from Joseph of Arimathea. Take courage. Speak up and let the world know who you are. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
This has been A Minute to Stop and Think with Pastor Christopher Toma of Our Savior Lutheran Church and School in Heartland. To learn more about Our Savior in Heartland, especially their tuition-free preschool through eighth grade school, please visit oursaviorheartland.org. No E in Heartland.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal. And I would absolutely recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Hey, folks, turn up the radio. Let the sound of freedom ring. Turn up the radio. Thanks for joining us here on Wham 1600. We are American made. We are the voice of freedom. We are American radio. Turn up the radio, because sometimes I speak softer than I should. So, and by the way, I'm Ed Bondarenka. I'm here with Alex Wassel. And missing in action right now is Gary, who's going to be back next week if he behaves himself. And let's see, the number here is 734-822-1600. And you're welcome to chime in as soon as we give the topics, unless you're Joe Lenard, and then you just change the topic anyhow, and we'll
That's
see where
true.
It goes. Yeah. So, by the way, I'm sure you heard the news that Epstein, what's his name again, Joel or Jared? I can't remember now. I'm lost here.
No, it's, I forget, yeah. I forget his first name.
Epstein suicided. Epstein,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How do you do that when you're, go ahead.
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, you go. No wonder I couldn't remember. Right. Jeffrey Epstein suicided while on suicide watch. Yeah. And it's his second attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been hustled off to a hospital where they're going to do an autopsy and a toxicology report, which begs the question, how did he kill himself? And why don't they know yet?
Well, I don't know
how did somebody kill him, and why don't they know yet?
Right, right. I don't know how he killed himself or what exactly happened.
Or if he really did.
Right. But I do know that dead men do not testify against anybody.
Dead men tell no tales.
Absolutely. Yeah. And whenever you see or you hear of a suicide, or if somebody basically pleads guilty to something, then there's no testimony anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The trial's over with. He's sentenced. He's out of the way. Or if you're dead, you're out of the way. There's no testimony on what actually happened. And that's what we need to know.
Is this an Arkanside?
Yes, right.
Was Clinton Incorporated involved in this? I mean, let's face it. This guy was under pressure to talk about some of the most important people. I don't know about important, but some of the most powerful people on this planet, including British royalty. My goodness, was MI6 involved?
Well, there was also, he knew a lot of American politicians. I'm thinking Bill Clinton was on the Lolita Express, 23 times or something?
25, I think.
Well,
but
somewhere around
there. There's only a record of four, but you know.
Yeah, right,
yeah,
right.
Right.
Obviously he could give damning testimony for a lot of people, and it's beneficial that to those people that he's no longer on the planet.
Well, we'll have to see how this plays out. Obviously, we have nothing much more to say about who he was and what happened. Oh, my goodness. I said it. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. It's Joe Lenard. Joe.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, Epstein murder, of course, still trending on Twitter. But
You said murder. You said murder.
Yeah.
Joe's in the know.
Yeah, but of course, Clinton body count that had thousands of posts and massive trending magically morphed into Trump body count.
and why not?
The left does their usual psychological projection with hundreds, potentially God knows how many, suspicious deaths surrounding the Clintons, with people tied to the Clintons. The left is trying to peddle old pictures of Trump with Epstein long before he completely disassociated with him and barred him from all his properties because he knew he was a pedophile, and are, of course, trying to bury and scrub all the absolute recent pictures of Bill Clinton with Jeffrey Epstein, who has had a lifelong relationship. Epstein helped found the Clinton Foundation with Bill Clinton, and, of course, burying the logs to show dozens of trips by Bill Clinton to Pedophile Island, as usual. Facts have nothing to do with what liberals want.
Well, Joe, did Bill Clinton know James McDougal? Because he died in Texas under federal custody. He was ready to sing like a songbird on Whitewater, and he died before he had a chance to. Now, his wife, she shut up and took a jail sentence and didn't say boo, and she's still alive. Interesting.
Yeah. pure coincidence. What are you suggesting?
What a coincidence, huh?
Hey, I'm just suggesting a coincidence.
What's the guy's name, Foster?
There are so many amazing coincidences that surround the Clintons.
What was Foster's first name?
Vince.
Vince Foster, right. Was he the first, or was that anybody before Vince Foster?
Oh, I think there were some. The list is way too long to even remember.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a blog post somewhere. There's a website.
We'd have to DuckDuckGo search it.
Yeah.
Don't Google anything. DuckDuckGo search.
That's what I do.
Yep. All right, Joe. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Take care, my friends. I love you all.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All righty. So, I don't know. Let's change the subject from Epstein, unless we've got a caller who wants to just continue the trend.
Right.
We'll give you 3 seconds, sir, for Derek to put your name up. 2-1 Dead air. Okay, change the subject.
Okay, let's hear
it. So, we have... I'm sorry, I got distracted. Derek, do we have a caller? Hi, who are you? Ken from Livonia.
Ken from Livonia.
How are you doing? Good.
Hi, Ken.
Well, you're talking about Bill Clinton and the now Epstein, which suspicious. It's just a reminder that once again, the importance that we don't put our trusts and our hopes into a political party or a candidate or an individual, but we need to put our trust in God and all his promises. And that's what I've done. Make sure I put my trust in Christ
and
everything that he tells us, and not a politician or a party.
Okay. And you know, everybody, in fact, Epstein himself, he, you know, everybody's going to face the judgment. They're going to face the judge. They've got to have an answer for what they've done, unless they plead guilty now and accept God's grace. And, you know, a lot of people make fun of that God's willing to forgive. But, you know, I've done terrible things, and I've been given forgiveness for that. And thank God I don't have to pay the fine for that anymore. Jesus did that on the cross. So thanks for reminding
me
of that.
Well, what's so important to stress, and this is why St. Paul was chosen to bring the message to the Gentiles, there is nothing that you can do that can't be forgiven if you turn to the Lord with repentance.
That's right.
Think about that, people. Think about that.
Hey, Ken, I want to get it. I got other stuff to cover. I'm glad we covered that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Love you, brother. Thanks for calling. So, now, we want to move on, and we've got two different topics here. We got 16 minutes or so to cover one or both of them.
Okay, Ed.
And either we go down one track or the other, or we manage to hit both. But we've got the break from civility on the left, who is, of course, calling us terrorists, calling us racist, calling us extremists, mostly because we support the President of the United States. We're all deplorable. That's been pointed out. In fact, folks, Facebook, League of Deplorable Gentlemen, put in an invite to join, and I'll review it, and we'll let you in. That's a lot of fun.
Yes, that's a good site.
So we've got, and my friend Jay Poplar on Facebook, he pointed out that Cory Booker says he wants to punch the president. Joe Biden says he wants to beat up the president. Maxine Waters wants people to get in Republicans' faces out in public, and we know they've done that to Sarah Sanders and others, and Ted Cruz. Jimmy Kimmel and other late-night hosts joke about assassinating the president, including Madonna. If I had a bomb, I'd put it in the White House. You know,
absolutely.
And Johnny Depp, remember that? Maybe it's time for an actor to assassinate the president again. I mean, if there were red flag laws, and that was the other direction I was going to go with gun laws,
right.
If there were red flag laws, these people would be candidates right off the bat. You know, could you enforce red flag laws against their bodyguards? You know, no, your bodyguards don't get to have them either. You know, nope. That's too dangerous. They'll do what you say.
Well, they live behind tall fences and secure neighborhoods, and they have bodyguards, and they never go to places where they're in serious jeopardy.
Yeah. In fact, Derek, would you play the Pitchforks and Torches piece? This is Eli Mistel on MSNBC talking about the Trump supporter who owned the health club, that's name escapes me, and he's a big real estate developer in New York and other places, and he's a Trump supporter, and this is what this Eli Mistel says should happen to him.
Right. People of color are already targets under this administration. Right. I have no problem with shining the light back on the donors who fund this kind of racialized hate. I go further. I want pitchforks and torches outside this man's house in the Hamptons. Right. I've been to the Hamptons. It's very nice. There's no reason why it has to be. There's no reason why he should have little party, right? No, there's no reason why people shouldn't be able to be outside of his house and making their
demonstrating,
voices
totally.
Peacefully
yes.
understood that they do not, they
totally.
Reject the rejected stuff.
There have been peaceful protests outside Michigan. McConnell's house, and I imagine there will be peaceful protests outside this, which is, again,
peaceful protests with pitchforks and torches. I love it.
Right.
Gary, would you play an example of a peaceful protest in front of Mitch McConnell's house?
Is that me?
Oh, no. That's not you, Gary. This is, I'm asking Derek to play a soundbite on Murder Turtle for Mitch McConnell. Protest in front of his house.
Yeah, that was anything but peaceful.
Yeah, and I probably didn't give him the link, so it's probably on me.
Okay.
Okay.
Here it comes.
Murder Turtle! Murder Turtle! Murder Turtle! Mitch, we know you're home! You, your wife, everything you stand for.
Hopefully some out there with some booty dolls in these.
Yeah, you know somebody is. That's probably what it is. Just stab the in the heart, please.
Sounds peaceful to me. How about you? Is that that's day in the hood, right?
Yeah. Well,
picnic barbecue and chanting murder the dude.
Well, this is what you get from the left and the New Democratic Party and the socialists and Antifa and all those folks. This is the verbiage they use, and this is why they're coming after McConnell and they're coming after Trump supporters. And anybody that disagree with them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see what Gary from Hazel Park has to say.
You guys got it right on the head right there, because the F-bomb is dropped casually now in the political circles and all around the place. It's just out there. But I'm calling about the red flag laws, which I'm totally against, because the next thing you know, you're going to have yellow flag laws and orange flag laws, and then you're going to change the subject and have a freedom of speech red flag laws where you can't say that, you can't say this, and it's just going to spiral out of control. Shall not be infringed is the verbiage right there in front of you, and I'm for that exactly.
We don't even know what they say red flag law. There's a standard already, Indiana's red flag law, all right? There's the Maryland red flag law that got a guy killed because he answered the door with his gun in his hand, because it was 5:30 in the morning. People are loudly beating on his door. It turns out they're cops to take his gun. And so he feels threatened by people with guns, and he ends up dead in a hail of bullets due to the red flag law. That really went well.
Well, this right. is, Gary, this seems to be a frontal attack against the Second Amendment. And I can't see how this would be deemed legal.
It's not even the Seventh Amendment or Second Amendment. It's the Fourth Amendment, right? Search and seizure.
Well, that's true. But also,
and First Amendment, based on what you say.
Right. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things they want to do is declare Antifa a terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm.
Does that get you on the red flag list? And if it does, then when we change presidents to a Democratic president, when they declared the Tea Party a terrorist organization, will that be a red flag for the Tea Party?
Well, you know, I'm looking at the Indiana red flag law, and it's really interesting the way it goes. It starts out sounding like this. A law enforcement officer provides the court a sworn affidavit, okay? So the circuit or superior court may issue a warrant to search for and seize a firearm in the possession of an individual who is dangerous if, one, a law enforcement officer provides the court a sworn affidavit that... And it goes on talking about how dangerous he is, okay? That sounds reasonable. Oh, two, The affidavit specifically describes the location of the firearm, and three, if a law enforcement officer seizes a firearm from an individual whom the law enforcement officer believes to be a dangerous without obtaining a warrant. Now, you know, you just see that slide, right? Is that right?
Right. Pretty soon, he just took the weapon, is what it says.
Yeah, and then he goes, and then he asks for forgiveness later, and then you spend 6 months. I mean, I lost my gun to the cops once because it was stolen, and so they got it back, and it took me, even after the trial was over, it took me 6 months to get the pistol back. Like, what? It's not evidence anymore.
And we can't currently trust our judicial system based on the FISA court and what they did to the president, you know?
Yes, and what they did to the people of the American of America, really, by virtue of, you know, they went after Trump, but that's just because he's between them and us.
Well, there's a difference of stopping somebody walking down the street, you know, shooting off his gun in the air at people, and going to somebody's home in the middle of the night, basically on the word of, we'll say, a disgruntled family member.
Well, the guy in Walmart. There's a guy in Walmart, and everybody's saying, oh, this guy with the CPL, he stopped this guy in Walmart who's wearing body armor and carrying a gun.
Right, in Missouri, I believe.
Yeah, except he wasn't shooting anybody. He hadn't really done anything criminal yet. It's not criminal to wear body armor. Do I think it's stupid? I think it's insanely stupid, but people do all kinds of stupid things, like jump out of normally good airplanes with a parachute on.
Well, that's fun. If you haven't done that yet, you're
wasting
your life.
Okay, and we're talking about the airplanes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, but I have to admit that the guy was pretty insensitive to walk into the Walmart with his AR or AK and body armor, you know, shortly after the shooting.
Well, I'm not a fan of open carry anyhow, because it spooks the sheep. You know, I don't need to spook the sheep.
Right. But
it's,
regardless,
it's lawful.
Yeah, it's lawful. But in this in the atmosphere in which we live today, they are using any sort of provocation to try to take away your Second Amendment rights. And I think people need to be aware of this and be responsible and also defend their Second Amendment rights.
Yeah. Anything else, Gary?
I agree with you. I can't imagine any good reason just to walk into a store with body armor and your gun. Don't do that. It's a silly thing to do. And you guys take it easy. Be well.
Okay, right, we'll you too.
You know, a few years ago, almost 10 years ago, I was in Walmart looking for ammo, and this guy walks in, and he's got a gun on his hip. And I just looked at him, and I said, hey, you catch heat for that? Just, you know, I just want to know. Do you catch heat for that?
What did he say?
All defensive. I'm in my rights. And he just,
oh, yeah.
I know a judge, and the judge told me, I'm like, dude, I didn't ask you any of those questions. Right. I asked you, do you ever catch any flack for walking around with a gun on your hip? Inquiring people want to know.
Right.
I never did get a clear answer, I think by inferring his response, yeah, he did.
Yeah. Well, again, even though it's your right to do so, I think that's not exactly a good idea unless you have, you know, unless you feel threatened at that moment.
If you like
better to ease back, self-imposed restrictions are a whole lot better than government-imposed restrictions.
Yep. Why scare people to they're willing to vote against your position? That doesn't make sense.
Nope.
Hey, we got Tom from Detroit. Tom, what you got?
Yeah, you know, I believe, you know, when somebody gets an FFL license, you know, the federal firearms license, and they're buying and selling firearms, and then they do the NICS check, and I mean that's good. They have a contract with the government. They're getting a benefit, and they have to follow the regulations, and everybody understands that. Now they're talking about extrapolating that to on a federal level. To private citizens, and you know, frankly, I don't think they have the subject matter jurisdiction. It's just they just don't have it. And I mean, it's not even you know, commenting on the Second Amendment, and it seems that Trump is going along with it.
That's my concern. You know, that is my concern right there. Is what is Trump doing, and is he going to screw up 2020 with this?
Well,
I don't think.
Go ahead.
I don't think I can vote for him if he signed something like that, you know, extrapolating that, you know, some kind of a background check and met requirements on private owners buying and selling firearms. I don't think I'll be able to vote for him.
So you would withhold your vote and let Joe Biden or Kamala Harris get elected?
Yeah.
I might even vote against him, just on the whole premise that, okay, look, if we're going to go over the cliff, let's go over at 100 miles an hour rather than 30 miles an hour.
Not the first time I've heard that point of view, and I don't mean just from you either. And it kind of bothers me, but I understand it. It's out there. It's real. People feel that way. You can't argue. I can't argue against you against that position. So somebody's got to take it into account. It's going, you guys, maybe even myself, will not support President Trump if he turns out that he's going to throw our rights away. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, if I could address you and Tom, I would say, you know, Trump's dealing with political forces as they happen today.
Mm-hmm.
The long view of politics in 2020 is to get Trump reelected, to get a Supreme Court that will
overturn his activity.
Absolutely,
with Trump.
That's fine.
That's great, Alex. Yeah. Tom, you hear that?
Yeah, but also
it's a
you
long
know,
time till the election. I know that. So
right.
I'll be watching. And
well, sure, Tom. I understand that.
No, I like that approach. So we keep Trump so that he'll get the Supreme Court stacked with conservatives, originalists, who will then
go.
Good. I thought that was our music, and the clock was really off.
Yeah, we'll get a good Supreme Court that defends our rights.
And they'll throw this out.
They
could
throw it out, right? Absolutely.
He's brilliant. 4D chess.
No, but also in between now and 2020, you've got congressional candidates that you could vote for and support that hopefully will defend our constitutional rights.
I didn't get the audio clips because I couldn't locate them in time this morning, but I did hear on the news today on Wham, I did hear Trump saying something about background checks, and then there was somebody from the Dems saying, no, we're not working with him. It's like, okay, I can live with that.
Right. Because what Trump's trying to do is seem reasonable, and what the Democrats are doing is showing their hand, and their hand is to basically get rid of the Second Amendment and on the way, get rid of the First, too.
Okay, Tom, thanks for calling.
Yeah,
we got one more caller in 2 minutes.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
All right, great hearing from
you.
Thanks. Bye. So the other person hung up, too.
Uh-oh.
Oops, now it leaves us with dead air.
No, it's only if we stop talking.
Shall I sing? No.
There's obviously, you know, we could talk about when you see Antifa have their gun clubs, and they show them on video marching around with AR-15s, you know, the left never gets excited.
Hey, we got 2 minutes. Let's talk about the movie The Hunt.
Well,
guns, Trump, idiot elites hunting down deplorables?
Right.
That's smart. That's really good marketing.
Well, actually, the timing couldn't have been better or worse, let's say. But the whole idea of the concept of hunting down deplorables is would not stand if it was the other way around. Deplorables hunting down liberals.
You got to catch me first, you know?
Yeah.
Well, folks, thanks for joining us. And come back next week. Maybe Gary will join us, too. This is Ed Bondarenka. Alex Wassel's been sitting in, too. We had Rick Dieter in earlier. And join us once again for the Drift Radio Show.
A lot of fun. Thank you
very much.